Grace, mercy, and peace be unto us from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this morning is the Old Testament lesson that was read earlier. I want to read just the last verse of this lesson once again. O house of Jacob, come, let us walk in the light of the Lord. This is our text. Earlier in our service, the first candle of the Advent wreath was lit. Next week, we'll do another candlelight. The third week of Advent, we'll light the third candle with the first two, and then the fourth Sunday, we'll light the fourth one, and then finally, at Christmas, we'll light the Christ candle. Now, the Advent wreath has different traditions that churches follow. Some is use each candle to represent a specific person or thing. Sometimes we use a lesson of peace, hope, joy, those kinds of things. But they all kind of bring us to one thing. The light in the middle of that wreath. Jesus Christ candle. The light. The light of Christ. It's about Christ. It's all about Christ. And in this Christmas season, in this Advent season, we are reminded of His coming and the light that He brought to our world. Does anybody have their Christmas tree up yet? Anybody not have their Christmas tree up yet? Wow, that's amazing. You know what the old tradition of that was? You don't put the Christmas tree up until Christmas Eve. How many of you put your Christmas tree up on Halloween? What's the point of the lights on the tree? To represent the light of Christ. What's the point of lighting lights at the altar? To represent the light of Christ. You see, it's all about Christ and the light. Well, our text for this morning speaks of the establishment of God's church and the peace that comes with it through the light. And it encourages us to be a part of it all, to walk in the light. So my message today is to talk about the light, the coming of the light, being drawn to the light, and then living in the light. Now, the light, of course, is provided by God. He has promises in His Word. We call them prophecies. Prophecies of old about His Messiah coming. It was all a part of the old covenant relationship He had with His people. There is one to come. We know that that one to come is the good news of Jesus coming, who is the fulfillment of all the prophecies. And all the promises. It is amazing how God worked in Christ, the light of the world, to fulfill all that God had promised and prophesied. As a little aside here, I have a dime. Do you know what is around the edge of a dime? Ridges. Do you know how many ridges are around the edge of a dime? Now you might say, who counts that? And if you do, get a life. Well, I'm here to tell you, there's 118 ridges around the outside of a dime. I know what you're thinking. Get a life, preacher. Go ahead, count them sometime. Or you can just take my word for it. Are you willing to do that? 118 ridges around a dime. Got that? Well, we don't really need to know that. God's Word tells us what we do need to know. Do you know how many prophecies there are about the Messiah? It's more than 118. Somewhere around 367 prophecies in the Old Testament about the coming of the Messiah. It is amazing. Now you can go through and count them. Might be fun to do. Or you could just take God's word for it. Is that okay? Sure, because His word stands. His word is true. And His word is about the light, the Messiah. Now our text is a prophecy, if you will, that the house of the Lord would be established. Guess through whom? The light, the Messiah. It would be established as the highest of the mountains. It would be the mountain of the Lord, highest above all others. It's a way of talking about the preeminence of God's church through the head of that church. It's about the true religion that comes through Him who is the fulfillment of God's promises. It's about His kingdom coming. And it would shine in the darkness. You know what the darkness is, don't you? It's the darkness of sin. It's kind of hard to see how dark it gets at night when you live in a city. Have you ever gone out of the city and looked at the dark sky when there's not a moon? Now, there's lots of stars. Go out and look when there's not a moon and there's clouds. It is dark. That's what sin does to us spiritually. We are in spiritual ignorance by nature. We are bankrupt in a relationship with God. We are without saving knowledge of God in our natural state. We were without the wherewithal to make ourselves right with God because of this darkness. We could call it spiritual blindness, but the promise is that light would come. Light would come to bring peace. Peace because God will judge and cause people to stop fighting. That would happen in His kingdom where peace will reign. But more importantly, the peace that God comes and gives between us and Him. The barrier between God and man has been broken down. The barrier of sin has been broken by the coming of the light into the darkness. And the darkness will not overcome it. The darkness does not understand it. And the darkness has the light to shine brightly in it. God brings us to Himself with this light. God has reconciled us to Himself through His Son, Jesus Christ. In Jesus Christ and what He did in His keeping the law perfectly and in His suffering and death brought us back to God because in Christ God's wrath has been appeased. And we are justified. Well, there's a good catechetical term. Justified. Justified. What does that mean? It's kind of a courtroom term. It means to be declared not guilty. Even when we are. We are justified. It's justified made myself right with God. It's a word game we play in catechism. Declared not guilty. Declared right with God because of what Jesus Christ did. This peace that comes through Christ can bring peace to us. In a world where there is no peace. In a world where there's wars and rumors of wars. But brothers of the faith can live in peace. As we walk in the light, God's way settles things as we live with one another. This is a peace that is lasting, established by God that cannot be taken away by Satan, cannot be destroyed by the evil world. A peace that comes because the light has come. Did the sun just start shining a little more? I thought I was seeing some light. Walk in that light, my friends. The light has come. By God's power, we are drawn to that light. God comes to us through His word. His word includes the law, and it will go out, and it will convict people of their sin. You know what? People don't want their dirty little secrets known or exposed. Jesus says this, "Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light, for fear that his deeds will be exposed." Light exposes the things in the dark. As Paul writes, we heard it in our epistle lesson as he talks about works of darkness. orgies and drunkenness, sexual immorality and sensuality, quarreling and jealousy. Paul says, don't make any provisions for the flesh to gratify its desires. God's law exposes our sinfulness, makes us realize our spiritual condition. But thankfully, there's more to the Word of God than just the law, because all it can do is condemn us. We also have the gospel. And you remember what the gospel is? It's the good news of Jesus Christ. Paul gives us a better definition. It's the power of God unto salvation. And he said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It's the power of God unto salvation. Jesus has the words of life. You know, light draws us, draws our attention to it, just like the sun shining. I didn't plan that, folks. But what happened in my mind is I was yapping away here, and I saw the light coming through the windows. It got my attention, right? Light gets our attention. We're drawn to the light, especially at night. Well, the Holy Spirit uses the gospel to draw us to God. And it's all the work of God. Whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what he has done has been done through God. That's John 3:21. The Word of God is able to instruct us, to teach us, to reveal to us the truth of God's kingdom, the truth from His house, to teach us His ways so that we walk in His paths, so that we grow in faith, and together as members of His kingdom, support and love and encourage one another. Many peoples will come, we are told in our text. Nations will flow to God's mountain. I have to admit it. I'm one, along with my wife, of the people who have moved to Northwest Arkansas. Are there any transplants here? I should say, are there any natives here? Isn't it amazing what has happened in Northwest Arkansas over the years? And if I heard it right in the last couple of weeks, they're predicting that there's going to be 1 million people by 2030 in Northwest Arkansas. I don't know about you, but that is a little amazing to me. I'm already having trouble trying to drive in this town. 1 million have been drawn to Northwest Arkansas, and from all over the place. I'm from Kansas, and we call the Arkansas River there the Arkansas River. Oh, I just made a boo-boo, didn't I? God's Word will draw peoples, all peoples from all nations to His holy mountain. That means Gentiles are included in this covenant relationship with God. Come, they will say. Let us go to the mountain of the Lord. There our differences are not important. We have a common bond. We're at peace with God and with one another in Jesus Christ. We have one Lord, one shepherd, one flock, one kingdom, one in Christ. Walk in that light. We've been drawn to it by the work of the Holy Spirit. We have been given faith in Jesus Christ. And so we live in the light, walking in His paths, recognizing the truth from His Word, having been taught and continuing to learn and to spend time in the Word of God. Hopefully resisting more and more the temptations the devil tries to come at us with, staying off the dark paths, being in His Word, being in prayer, traveling our life as a child of God, knowing that once in a while we'll fall, but He's there to pick us up and get us back on the road. One thing that Advent reminds us of, and by the way, also the end of the church year, you've probably heard in the last Sunday or two about the last days. We heard it in our gospel lesson for today. It's going to be like the days of Noah. What happened in the days of Noah? Well, they went on as life went on, not expecting anything strange to happen until the flood came and took them all away, except for that strange bird that was in a boat that it took him 120 years to build. And somehow animals got on with him. like to see that on Beaver Lake. Until it happened. Like in the days of Noah. Christ is going to come. And people won't know it. But some of us will. Because we're living in the light. And we're living this life for the next life to come. We go up to the mountain, to God's church, to worship, to learn, to grow. And God's word provides light for our paths. Maybe you learned this verse once somewhere in your life. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light for my path. Do you know what has replaced the flashlight? I bet you all have one today. Your cell phone. Right? Who needs a flashlight? All you got to do is push a button on that thing that you wear in your pocket. I'm sorry to say my cell phone does not have a light on it. I still have the old flip phone. Isn't it amazing? I'm not going to tell you to do it, but you could all pull your cell phones up and turn a light on. It'd be kind of cool to see. Sometimes they do that. The light of a flashlight, the light of a cell phone provides light for the path you are on or something you're trying to find. Jesus is our light. He is the light for the path that we are on and is the way to something we have found. I am the way, he says, and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. I am the light of the world, he says. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. In him was life, John writes, and that life was the light of men. You see how light and life kind of fall together in the word? And the light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not overcome it. Jesus is the light for our paths as we live in faith. We've been brought to faith in him. We believe in him. And we know what really matters in this life as we live in the life. And the warning still applies to us as it does to the whole world. So wake up, people! Live in the light. Paul says it. We heard it in our epistle. Besides this, you know the time, that the hour has come for you to wake from sleep. So let us cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. And make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. And Paul writes to the Ephesians, live as children of light, for the fruit of light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. For it's shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible, for it is light that makes everything visible. This is why it is said, wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. And in the gospel lesson, Jesus said, therefore, stay awake. Stay awake, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. You must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour that you do not expect. Go ahead. Count the ridges on a dime, or not, but for sure, walk in the light during this Advent season and every day of your life as you live in the light. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.